Welcome everyone, we're about to begin Be'ez Hashem HSP, Shir number 32. That's Highly Sensitive People, Shir number 32. There's a book called Sensitive by Jen Graneman and Andrew Solo. This Jen Graneman wrote also another book called The Secret Life of Introverts. She has a tremendous amount of insights that I'm going to share with you based on certain things that were said in this book. The common usage of sensitive means a person having big emotions. That's what we perceive it to be. Crying for joy, bursting with warmth, and we wilt when we are criticized. It can also be physical. You're sensitive to temperature. You're sensitive to fragrance. You're sensitive to sound. And she says that a growing body of scientific evidence is telling us that these two types of sensitivity is real, and they're in a sense the same. In other words, physical sensitivity and emotional sensitivity are closely linked to one another. Studies have shown, for example, that when you take Tylenol, so you're numbing a headache, research will show that at that point where it's taking effect and numbing your headache, you also score lower on empathy tests until the medication wears off, which is a very interesting insight, how painkillers sometimes, when they numb the physical pain, they numb your emotional feeling too, to a certain extent. These days, we have scientific studies that have the ability to do this, which is really unbelievable. Its sensitivity is an essential human trait, and it's tied to some of the best qualities in human beings. We have now the ability to spot differences in the brains of sensitive people in something called the functional magnetic resonance imaging, which is a fMRI scan, where it actually, not only a regular MRI that could look the picture into, let's say, the mind and see, or the brain and see things that, you know, you could detect certain things medically, but the idea is you could actually see how emotions work and all of that. It's really, truly remarkable. And sensitivity is often looked at as a bad thing in society. We talked about it. We discourage our kids. The sensitivity, we tell them always stop crying or shake it off. We weaponize sensitivity against adults, telling adults you're overreacting or you're being too sensitive. And her hope in writing this book is to change that. She said, which is true, introvert in our society was once a dirty word. Very stigmatized to be an introvert. And, you know, that there was an awareness lately that that's not anymore that prevalent. People are admiring healthy introverts. But sensitive people or HSPs or people that have that, they don't, they're not there yet. So she wrote this book for the highly sensitive person themselves to teach them and explain to them how they could thrive in a world that could be challenging to them, and how to change certain shame-based patterns that they have, and to become, believe it or not, a leader, an influencer, despite the fact that you don't want to be, using your sensitivity as a gift. And the same idea is there are people out there that may have never thought of themselves as being sensitive, who actually are. And after thinking through these things in this book, they will realize that they do have a deep sensitivity, but they don't always show it on the outside. And you're recognizing parts of you that you were hidden, but were really there, that you need to develop, or you should develop in a healthy way. And then there are people that are going to read about this and learn about sensitivity, and the idea of not worrying that others will view it as a weakness. And the way we live in our world, it is still considered a weakness. And she writes, and we're going to try to go through important points in this book that perhaps Elaine Aron and Judith Orloff, which were the two books that we based Shiurim up to this point, some may have been mentioned. There's other things here that they may have not mentioned. And we're going to go through it. Sensitivity is a strength, and it's a very important to understand how and why it's a strength. So she goes first, the fascinating thing that there was back in 1903, roughly, okay? So you have a case where basically there were horse and buggy streets, but it was still a new era. Electric lights were starting to come about, telegraphs, the railroad station, the railroads and the trains were becoming more prevalent. You had phonographs, which is like those old record players were starting to music. There was life was changing dramatically even then. You know, looking at it back now, it's in the Stone Ages, but it was progressing to very. It was starting to grow tremendously. The scientific innovations and things like that. So there was in Germany in Dresden, a sociologist, one of the earliest sociologists. His name was George Simmel, G-E-O-R-G, and last name Simmel, S-I-M-M-E-L. He's not well known today, but in those days he was very influential, and even now he is basically the first one of the first people, a pioneer, to apply scientific approach to human interactions, which is what sociology is. He tackled, for example, the role of money in human happiness, why people flirt, why people behave in certain ways. And then he talked about innovation and, you know, the new things. And imagine, he's talking back in the early 1900s, so you see how much it's prevalent even today. But listen carefully. He describes the nonstop stream of external and internal stimuli in a loud, fast, and overscheduled world. And far ahead of his time, he suggested that people have a limited amount of mental energy, something we now know to be pretty much true, and that high-stimulating environments consume the person's psyche, and our spiritual and emotional sides become spent and worn out by a hyper exposure to this stimuli. He basically said a human being is not constructed for that. It's too sensitive for such a life. Most human beings, maybe you have some that have this built into them, but for that they could handle it better. But very often, that overflow of information, that overflow of technology, that overflow of things going on weakens the person and gets them and drains them and actually trips them up and closes their hearts out of necessity, because there's so much of their outer world that they have to absorb because of the complexity of it now. That was good things, luxury, all these other things, but it closed off their hearts from the necessity of actual living. And he warned, even then, that by living with such overload of the technology or extra stimuli, you are being leveled down, you're being swallowed up. So now we're 120 years after that, where life has gone beyond the speed of a horse and buggy. Now you have smartphones, you have social media, you have life being a lot busier. We work longer hours. And we care for our children or aging parents with little support, and we're stressed, burnt out, anxious. So in the world itself objectively is more overstimulating than it was in Simmel's time in the early 1900s. And a human being was not designed for such unlimited input. Our brain is a sensitive instrument. You push it to its limit, it'll hit overload. And the reality is that it could create tremendous problems. Now, what Simmel did not know or he didn't explore is that within human beings themselves, not everyone is sensitive to the same degree. And for people who the Shiurim are addressed to primarily, the highly sensitive people, they feel that too much world very, very deeply, more than the regular. We also have this problem with the stigma of being sensitive. Highly sensitive is even a bigger stigma. Sensitive is still, in many circles, a dirty word because it sounds like a weak spot. It sounds like it's a guilty admission or an insult even. What do we mean by that? We call someone sensitive is that they can't take a joke or they're easily offended or they cry too much or they get their feelings hurt too easily or they can't handle feedback or they can't handle criticism. And we often refer to ourselves as sensitive, which means that we have the habit of overreacting. Another problem is that sensitivity is associated with softness and femininity. Now, with males, that's a stigma. If a male is a HSP, this softness and femininity, maybe in our culture got well gedreht the opposite way, but through the year, through the centuries, men have this certain idea of masculinity and strength, which is true. It's important that they develop that side of their personality, and it's healthy. That maleness of that aspect is healthy, but not to the expense of not being soft and have that feminine quality as well. Even with females, it's a stigma. They're looked upon weaker because of their softness and femininity, while it really needs to be embraced and it's a strength. And we assume, basically, in the stigma of being sensitive, that we're likely to be more offended or more hurt or more angry or more, you know, things like that. And we're always told, don't be too sensitive. Why are you so sensitive? And all of those things. And we bristle, we get pained by being called that, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And it has wrongly become associated with weakness, and that is a defect that needs to be fixed. The Torah basically goes through different aspects of a personality in Pirkei Avos and in other places. On one hand, Azim, we have to have a certain strength and a certain amount of toughness going through the gullus, but at the same time, Rachmanim, Baishanim, Gainle Chasadim, those three simanim are softer aspects. Noisa ba'olim chaveira, right? Feeling the pain of someone else. So this idea of I'm too sensitive, can I toughen up? You know, done in a very insensitive way, where it creates that sensitive people themselves internalize a certain sense of shame about who they are. And that is really a problem. In reality, what sensitive really means is basically by reacting more to stimuli, and it's part of their natural makeup. So for example, when you observe babies and they took cotton swabs, dipped it in diluted alcohol in their noses and spoke and projected a face onto the screen that speaks to them in a synthetic voice, whatever it is, they did certain things that were not dangerous but would cause some startling of the babies. Some hardly reacted and remained calm, and others were kicking and thrashing and arching their backs and crying even. And those, the scientists said, they're highly reactive, and the ones that weren't affected were low reactive. I saw once a fascinating documentary, part of it, where they took injections, you know, when they had the immunizations of young babies. They were maybe 6 months old or that range, whatever it was. And with the Japanese babies, most of them, they were injected. They whimpered a little bit, and that's it. With American babies, they were screaming off the top of their lungs, which means like it's cultural too, it seems, which is interesting. So there's some infants that were more highly reactive. But when they're older, they become highly reactive adults. And they confess, they get nervous in crowds, and they overthink things, and they worry about the future, but they also work very hard. Many have good grades, many have good careers, some struggle with that too. And she refers to Elaine Aron as being the founder of the field of sensitivity research. Now we realize that a lot of it is healthy, normal traits that just has to be adapted and learned to channel the right way. So what it is sensitivity in a real scientific, healthy way of looking at it. It's the ability to perceive and process and respond deeply to one's environment. And it happens by perceiving information from the senses and also thinking about that information thoroughly. So people who are sensitive do a lot of those two aspects. They naturally pick up more information from their environment, and they process it more deeply. So a better word from sensitive is really the word responsive. If you're a sensitive person, your body and your mind responds more to the world around you. You respond more to heartbreak and to pain and to loss. But you also respond more to beauty and to new ideas and to joy. You go deep where other people only skim the surface. Highly sensitive people are generally more deep people. And you keep thinking when others have given up and moved on to something else. So again, all these are gifts that need to be channeled, but we need to remove that unhealthy stigma that we have regarding sensitivity. Bracha v'atzlacha.